Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, defender of the poor and the oppressed. Amen.
Amen.
Have any of you ever seen a bear in the wild? Anyone? Oh, quite a few. Quite a few. All right. I know they're not very common here in Houston, except maybe in the zoo. But I saw signs of warning for bears and mountain lions when I was hiking at Big Bend National Park, so I know they exist in Texas. As you know, I'm originally from Western Pennsylvania, and we have lots of bears. It isn't uncommon to see them in your backyard or walking along the side of the road. And so from a young age, we are told what to do if you're going about your daily life and you confront a bear. First, remain calm. Avoid eye contact. Back away and go about your business. We are taught that when you are walking in the woods, make noise so that you don't surprise a bear, unless you are hunting. One summer, when my family was vacationing at a natural lake in the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania, the kids were out hiking, and my then 12-year-old daughter had lagged behind, as she often did, and she came upon a bear. When she relayed that story to us later that day, she talked about startling the bear, who was standing up on his hind paws, probably reaching for the most delicious berries or the most delicious leaves, who immediately stopped and focused its attention onto my daughter. She described the long pause where she was looking at the bear and it was looking right back at her. And then it turned and meandered off in the opposite direction while she hurried to catch up with her siblings. I remember upon hearing this story the gratitude that I had felt that she had not startled a mama bear and her cubs. A mama bear is powerful in a way that seems supernatural. A mama bear will protect her vulnerable cubs at all cost, even to the point of engaging in a brawl that she may not survive while her cubs escape. Mama bears are sensitive and attentive to their little ones, caring for them and protecting them, preserving their life while sacrificing hers. Her whole purpose is wrapped up in her cubs, nursing them, teaching them, and eventually releasing them into the wild on their own. As I studied the gospel passage this week, I couldn't help but think that Jesus reminded me a little bit of a mama bear. Our story from the Gospel of Luke is set in a synagogue community at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And the concept of synagogue is very much like the concept of ecclesia or church, meaning much more a gathering of people rather than a particular building. In Jesus' time, synagogues were often rooms in people's homes that were modified to be a meeting place for people in their town or village. We're told that Jesus is back in his hometown. He had been out teaching and proclaiming the good news in other locations around the Sea of Galilee, and now he's returned to his hometown, Nazareth. Back then, and also now, Hebrew scriptures read from large scrolls that are heavy and also expensive. Jesus would have been standing as the scroll would have been placed on a table of sorts, and some of those gathered might have gathered around him to look at the passage while he read, though most would not have been literate. When Jesus finishes, he sits down. His sitting indicates that he is assuming the posture of a teacher, a rabbi, who is about to start teaching. Our equivalent would be preaching. There is this pregnant pause, this silence, filled with expectation, and then Jesus says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This would have been a great end to this particular story. Imagine Jesus sitting for hours teaching the meaning of scripture to those who he loved from his childhood, giving them practical pointers as to how they could follow him and be part of his mission as they left their synagogue together that morning. But that is not the end of this story. We would have heard the rest of this story next Sunday, but since we're celebrating the presentation of our Lord next Sunday, I will ask you to listen to the rest of the story right now, as I think it is really important to this passage and its meaning for us today. And so the Gospel of Luke continues. All spoke well of Jesus and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. But the truth is, there are many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was severe famine all over the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many with a skin disease in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, except Naaman in the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Here ends the reading. That gathered congregation seemed almost giddy with excitement when Jesus began teaching, because they're thinking that this message is exactly what Jesus is going to do for them. They have heard stories about his teaching and healing in Capernaum, and they think he's back in his hometown to give them preference, to bring them honor, to raise their status. This year of the Lord, this Jubilee, is meant for them. They are shocked to find out they are not the focus of this ministry. Jesus goes on to explain to his hometown that his purpose is broader and wider, and it's time to put the focus on that expansion of who God claims as the poor and the captive, the outcast and the oppressed. Rather than Jesus coming to be the teacher and healer in his hometown, Jesus came home to be a prophet, whose purpose was to point towards God's mission that goes beyond the walls of their particular synagogue. Like a mama bear, Jesus proclaimed that his purpose was to focus on, to care for, and to protect the most vulnerable. And we will hear many stories as our year of stories from the Gospel of Luke continues about Jesus going to the most vulnerable, the most excluded, the most marginalized by society. Who are the most marginalized of our society? Who are the poor in our time? And what would good news be to them? Who are the ones held captive in our society, and what do they need to be released from? Who are the blind? And what if their sight would be recovered? What would they be and do in our society? Who are the oppressed? And what needs to change in order for them to be free? Beloved Christ the King community, today is the day we celebrate RIC Sunday, recognizing our designation as reconciling in Christ and what that means for our spiritual home. At the end of worship today, we will affirm our RIC welcome statement, committing ourselves to God's work of expansive inclusion, justice, and grace. The timing of this celebration, alongside our lectionary reading and the events of the past week, seems particularly providential. Our country is experiencing division, our neighborhoods are experiencing upheaval, and many of our Christ the King families are in the midst of their own seasons of struggle. And at this time, we hear this passage that points to our purpose, proclaimed in our mission statement in this time and place. Prophetic indeed. As in Jesus' time, in our own time, we see a broken society where people seek power and claim higher status than others. We want to be, as in our human nature, the ones in control, the ones on the top, the right ones. And sometimes we will do anything to prove to ourselves and the ones around us that this lie is truth. We have an insatiable lust for power, sometimes even in our own church communities. Jesus, as prophet in his hometown, met the fate of so many of God's prophets over time. A prophet's purpose is to incite people to hear God's voice, calling for a shift in focus, a change in behavior. Occasionally, people are willing to follow the voice of a prophet, like the people in Nineveh, who upon hearing Jonah call them to repentance, did repent and turn their lives toward God. But most of our stories in the Bible evidence something very different, as does our story today. When Jesus did not affirm the specialness, the eliteness of his hometown, but instead shifted the focus to the vulnerable ones outside their walls, the town became enraged. They got up, they chased Jesus out of town, and they tried to end his life immediately. Now that sounds more like the story of a prophet, doesn't it? Today, we are called to join Jesus in being prophets in our time and place, to be like a mama bear, to care for and protect God's children who are the poor, the ones held captive by our society, to refuse to be blind, but rather to see through God's eyes and participate in the liberation of the oppressed, as now is the time to witness our prophetic purpose of claiming the vulnerable as part of God's kingdom, part of our own family. Jesus was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and you and I are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We may at times feel powerless, especially when things happen to us or to our family and friends that we cannot control. Especially in these times, as the body of Christ, we need to remind each other that though we may not be able to control the circumstances of our lives, indeed, we are not powerless. The power of the Holy Spirit is a different kind of power than what the world around us claims as power. God's power equips us to do work for the common good. God's power emboldens us to stand up as prophets in our time. God's power seeks to bring good news to the poor, freedom to the captives, and liberation to the oppressed. This kind of power is not a temporary or a fleeting power that comes and goes with cycles of leadership or economy or even war. God's power is the forever kind of power that defeats the temporal powers of evil, that crushes sin and death, bringing wholeness and healing and eternal life. This kind of power is the power of the cross, carried and used with humility that sets aside the elevating of self in place of valuing the lowly, the least, and the lost. This kind of power emboldens us to declare that we are the beloved children of God, chosen by God, and we claim, as a mama bear claims, those deemed other by our society as our own siblings. What does it mean to be a prophet in our time and place? We're all empowered by the Holy Spirit in different ways with different gifts to be prophets as part of the body of Christ. Sometimes being a prophet means advocacy, peaceful protesting and resistance, speaking out publicly. Sometimes being a prophet means lament, crying out to God in anger, in fear, in fearing, feeling powerless, screaming, "Come, my rock and my redeemer." Sometimes being a prophet means faithful prayer and intentional care and long-term relationship with the poor and the oppressed. The response to society of a prophet, while it's volatile. Some people may be immediately pleased, and shortly afterward, enraged. But our calling as God's beloved is to remember that when one member suffers, all suffer together with them. We stand in solidarity because we are God's family. Hear our rock and our Redeemer saying to us today, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." May we as prophets be content with weakness, insult, hardship, persecution, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever we are weak, then we are strong in Christ Jesus, the one who shares with us the ultimate power over sin and death. Let it be so. Amen.
Amen.